Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting notice of Wednesday, March 11th, 2026, called to order at 12:03. And could we have roll call, please?
Yes. Okay. Alice Sadongi?
Here.
Andrew Christopher?
Here.
Blake Houghton?
Here.
Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Courtney Marks?
Here.
Gary Miner?
Here.
JJ Lamb?
Here.
Jessica Bassey? Joel Ireland?
Here.
Kathy Kubisch?
Here.
Ken Scoville?
Present.
Mauro Trejo?
Mauro?
No, I'm sorry, I was on mute. I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, great.
Okay, Rhonda Kendrick?
I'm here.
Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Terry Majewski?
Here.
And Tim Haggard?
Here.
All right.
Is that 15?
Yes, I have 15.
Okay, great. Thank you. Hopefully Jessica will get on. And so we also
can you hear me?
Oh, Jessica, you're on? Jessica Bassey?
Yes.
We can hear you. Yeah. And okay, I don't think you called Helen Erickson and she's not here. Right, Tracy?
Right, correct. Sorry. I think I did forget to call her. Do you want me to go ahead and call her?
No, I know she's not here. No.
Okay.
But yeah, because she said she wouldn't. So we've got 16 then, because Jessica's on. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Okay, we will go on to item 2, which is the land acknowledgement. If you can provide that for us, Commissioner Lozano.
Sure, thanks. On behalf of the residents of the City of Tucson, the City of South Tucson, and Pima County, we honor the tribal nations who have served as caretakers of this land from time immemorial, and respectfully acknowledge the ancestral homelands of the Tana Autumn Nation and the multi-millennial presence of the Pasboyaki tribe within Pima County. Consistent with the TPCHC's commitment to diversity and inclusion, we strive toward building equal partner relationships with Arizona's tribal nations.
Thank you. Item 3 is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 2/11/2026. Could I have a motion to approve as submitted, please?
This is Courtney. I motion.
Great. Thank you. Courtney Marks moves. And who will second?
This is Blake. I'll second.
Thank you, Blake. Is there any discussion? Okay, if not, could we go ahead and have roll call, please, Tracy?
Yes. Alice Sadongi?
Approve.
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Jessica Bassey?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Yes.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Mauro Trejo?
Aye.
Rhonda Kendrick?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 16-0.
Perfect, thank you. Item 4 is chairperson summary of current events. The only thing I wanted to mention is that a couple people have to leave relatively, you know, early today. So I think we should, in order that we don't lose our quorum, we should be succinct if we can. But we have a full agenda as usual. Okay, item 5 is recently posted subcommittee LAR/minutes. And just pointing out to you that as things are posted, they can be found at this link on boards and commissions. And if you have any trouble with accessing those, just let me know. Okay, item 6 is removal appointments to commission subcommittees, working groups, etc. And Rhonda, I wanted to ask you, I haven't been able to talk to you. Do you still want to be appointed to the event subcommittee, or would you rather wait and talk to me about it some more and then be appointed next month if you wish?
I'd like to proceed, but we can also connect previously, but definitely count me in for that committee, please.
Okay, so we need a motion to appoint Rhonda Kendrick Moniz to the event subcommittee. Is there someone willing to do that motion?
This is JJ. Also move.
Okay, we'll have JJ move, and do you want to second, Kathy?
I'll second.
Yeah. And JJ and Kathy are both members of that subcommittee. So they're looking for more help, I think. So, okay, is there any discussion about this motion? Okay, if not, we'll need a quick roll call on this one, too. Thank you, Rhonda. And I'll be in touch more about it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Alice Sadongi?
Hi.
Andrew Christopher?
Hi.
Did you hear him? He was soft.
Yes.
Okay.
Blake Cotin?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Jessica Bassey?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Yes.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Mario Trejo?
Aye.
Rhonda Kendrick?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 16-0.
Great. Thank you, everyone. And thank you, Tracy. Okay, item 7 is reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff. 7A is City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office, and Desiree is in training and might be late today. But Jonathan, are you reporting for us today?
I actually got out a little early, so I'm here by Johnny. Also, yes, hello everyone. I'm gonna hand it off to Johnny in a moment. I just have a couple things I wanted to share. So one, very excited to share that City of Tucson was selected to receive an Arizona Heritage Fund grant for $58,000 for a City of Tucson Parks and Recreation Historic Context Statement, which would be part one of a larger effort to survey and evaluate cultural resources on all of our parks properties. So very excited about that, and we'll keep you posted. Just we'll have to, you know, sign on the dotted line and all that good stuff. But we're very excited. Another thing. Yes, thank you. On Saturday, March 21st, we will be hosting a training for historic zone advisory boards. We're getting a lot of new members this year, so which is great. So we're going to be offering that. Johnny has some compliance related things to share. Ken has a question.
Go ahead, Ken.
Wonderful news on the grant. Is there any way we can use some of that for the Magnetic Observatory buildings to be inspected?
So those are parks property, so they will definitely be included. This phase of the project is a historic context. So we're looking at kind of the historic themes, areas of significance, kind of starting with that, those broad themes first, because we need that to evaluate individual properties and resources and buildings. And by evaluate, I mean evaluate for significance. So it's not really going to be like a building conditions assessment.
Well, I guess I could lobby if you got inside and looked at it, that's part of the evaluation process. Mm-hmm. And I have all the historic resources you ever need on those buildings.
Yeah, I mean, we could definitely document buildings like the, you know, photographs and kind of document their current conditions. But it's not funding for like a architect or engineer to go out and assess like the building condition. Yeah.
I would be thrilled at this moment just to have somebody open the gates and see if we can get into the buildings, take a look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll note that for that project. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Ken. I have a comment, Desiree. I think as the lists of the advisory boards get finalized, I'm going to need full lists from you to share with Commissioner Lamb, because we'll be updating our list for the NAPC.
Okay.
You know, and so it's really important that we have that for training, for, you know, so we can share information with them. So,
yes,
okay. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. And I'll hand it over to Johnny for a few more items.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you, Desiree. For starters, we have the Milagro on Oracle project. There's a few additional parts of that that are going to be going through continuing consultation, and PRS is going to be seeing things related to a sign and an awning, and that's in the Miracle Mile Historic District. We are working with SHPO and City Attorney's Office to finalize a programmatic agreement for HUD projects, and it will still require to go out to consultation, but we're making good progress, and this has been, you know, over a year in the making, so we are getting, we're moving closer. We do not have any additional updates regarding our work amending the Cultural Resources Administrative Directive for the City of Tucson, but we will provide updates when we get them. And finally, there's going to be some road improvements on the Grant and Union Pacific Railroad underpass. It's a City of Tucson project that also goes into the ADOT right away. And so we're currently working with some colleagues from ADOT to, do the State Historic Preservation Act. Carlos?
Hi. Thanks, Johnny. Is there a separate item to discuss the code updates, or isn't that running up against a deadline pretty soon?
I can jump in there. So the last meeting we did hear from our long range planning section about our code updates, the section had to, department had to kind of put pause on that for a moment to focus on the data center, all the data center work. Code related work to that. So they're not done with the red lines yet, but that will be coming back to you. We'll talk to Terry about how best to bring that to the commission, but we are also going to be sharing it with the advisory boards as well. So that's still TBD.
Okay, thanks.
Great, thank you. So anything else, Johnny?
That's it.
So any questions for Johnny? And the code question, Ken, you're on mute.
I was just downtown yesterday, and going under the Stone Avenue underpass, I noticed they put some decomposed granite and a little landscape. And I was wondering, are those parcels going to be eventually sold, or what is the plan? I've asked off and on for maybe 2 years on that. What is the current gateway entrance under Stone Avenue? What's going to those lands be used for?
Right now, I do not have an answer to your question, but I can certainly do some research and get back. Probably be reaching out to our real estate department.
I've probably been around Tucson too long, but I just don't want to see a chicken nuggets place go right in there as the gateway. So just a thought. Would like to find out what's happening. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. If the city is done. We'll move on to 7B, which is Pima County Cultural Resources and Historic Preservation Office. Courtney, I saw you, but I did not see Ian. Is it just you today?
Yes, good afternoon. It's me, and I'm here with Scott O'Mac today.
Oh, right. I saw Scott get on. Hi, Scott.
Okay, thank you. I think this is a good time to say as a segue that we, our office is working closely with the city of Tucson. Johnny and I have an ongoing meeting every other week to discuss our projects that may overlap, and so we're collaborating a lot more. And I think that will help in the success of many of these compliance projects that we need to review. So I just thought I would mention that. And I have a number of items to bring forward, one from Ian Milliken. He attended the Preservation Advocacy Week in D.C. last week, along with Tribal Historic Preservation Officers and State Historic Preservation Officers. They met with Congresswoman Grijalva and Senators Kelly and Gallego, and they advocated for more historic preservation funding. And another important thing that came out of that week was a meeting on the Advisory Council on Historic Preservation's initiation of review of the regulations that implement Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act. And they want to focus on some things like gathering more input, putting together a committee to discuss improving early coordination on federal projects, and also addressing how to achieve more meaningful consultation with tribes and more thoughtful consideration of historic places, for instance, like looking at landscape scale approaches. And secondly, our Cultural Resources Office will be conducting our first round of interviews tomorrow for the preservation analyst position. This new position will be helping me to working with me to develop our preservation program in our office, and we're very happy with the turnout of applicants. Thirdly, our cultural resources compliance manager position, this is a senior level position, is open and accepting applications until next Friday, and we would like to request the commission's help with spreading the word for this position. I can forward Ian's formal description of this position later on if that's helpful.
Yeah. Courtney, if you wanted to send that to Tracy, she can just easily send that to all of us.
Okay, great. Thank you. We'd really appreciate that. Sure. And, fourthly, on February 26th, Pima County kicked off the 25th year celebration of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, also known as the SDCP. It was a very nice turnout at the courthouse. And as you know, the SDCP is our guiding set of overarching principles and aspirational goals that enable us to manage 260,000 acres of land that includes everything from riparian areas to grasslands to mountain parks. At this kickoff of this year's celebration, there were many of the founders of the SDCP, including Carolyn Campbell speaking, Congresswoman Grijalva spoke, and we got to see Linda Mayro.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So we'll keep you updated on those events as they are scheduled. And I think there's a link to that, too, that I can send to Tracy as well after the meeting.
Great. Ken, did you have a question?
Yes. I'm very good at being a broken record. Any updates on the Atkins property?
I personally do not have an update. I believe that Ian Milliken will have one next month in April.
I knew the meeting was postponed. Hopefully it's gotten rescheduled and all of that. So.
I think it has.
All right. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. And let's see what else. Oh, Ian Milliken brought ideas on the Tribal Nation Policy Initiative a couple months ago to the commission. And he has scheduled meetings with the Tano Optum Nation. And what else? We have a conservation lands and resources department advisory board study sessions in which our cultural resources and historic preservation office will be presenting on March 25th. Ian will be making that presentation on our cultural resources office, and the meeting is open to the public, and I can send information on that too if anyone's interested in attending.
That would be great if you could.
Yeah. And in case there was an interest on updates on the cell tower on Camino Juan Paisano, which is on the east side of North Campbell Ave and in the view shed of the Jacobson House, which, as you know, is designated as a on our historic landmark overlay zone. And also the Jacobson House is listed in the National Register for Historic Places. That consultation is a Section 106 consultation, and the State Historic Preservation Office provided Ian and I an update the other day that they are in meetings with TerraCon and advising them to involve more of the community, as the community in that area has a lot of comments as to this cell tower. It was a co-location a couple years ago that was made under the nationwide programmatic agreement with the FCC, but unfortunately, because of the rules and regulations, was not sent to Pima County Cultural Resources for review. And the co-location actually visually looks a lot larger than the original. And so that is an issue with constituents and the local community. So SHPO is urging TerraCon to follow the Section 106 process and conduct public meetings to gain input as to the cell tower. And lastly, the newly acquired Kelly Ranch property will be, there's a field visit scheduled at the end of March, and Ian Milliken is working on that with the planners and looking forward to master planning that property. And Ian will probably have another update on that next month.
Oh, great.
And I think that's got, did I forget anything?
Scott,
you're asking me? No, not, I don't think so.
Did you have anything you wanted to add, Scott?
No, nothing.
No,
thanks.
Okay. All right, thanks. Okay, perfect. All right, so item 7C is City of South Tucson. I don't see Joshua on, so Carlos, do you have a few words of wisdom?
Sure, thanks. Yeah, I met with Josue and on a number of topics. He sends his regrets as far as not being able to attend. So City of South Tucson is getting a lot of attention from the College of Architecture and Planning and Landscape Architecture lately. They, in 2025, their capstone project, it was called Community Investment Strategy Toolkit, and it won an award. And then this year, they're starting up another project. This one, it's going to be called something like Developing South Fourth as a cultural preservation corridor. So I'm going to be meeting with some of those kids. And but the thing to know on these is that they're not just studies. They actually have, they make recommendations, and they require implementation. So if the city doesn't follow the recommendations, then the study is, just sits there. But it's great that they're getting all this attention right now. And another thing, maybe Courtney Rose or Scott, or maybe even Desiree might know. I saw Channel 4 did a piece on a grant that was submitted to Pima County involving developing the parcel, the Arizona Children's Association, that's 2700 South 8th, and that's the one with the two buildings, the 1921 Henry Josted designed buildings. And this grant, as far as I could see, it had no preservation component at all. But I don't have the grant. I don't know. But from what I saw, there was just absolutely nothing involving preservation. And would anyone present know anything about that grant proposal?
This is Scott O'Mac. No, I don't know anything about it. I hadn't heard anything.
Okay.
Can you repeat the address again, Carlos?
That's, 2700 South 8th, and it's a huge parcel. It's multi-acre, and it has multiple buildings on it. And the only, I mean, for me, the only two buildings that I'm concerned with are the 1921 Henry Josted structures.
I do know a bit about this, or I think I was reached out to about it. But I'd have to look back and find out more and figure out that's in fact the project, but I can follow up with you on that.
Okay. That'd be great. Thanks. I think that was all I had. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Any questions for Carlos that he might be able to answer? Okay, if not, thank you. And, so item 7D is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. And I saw that Lydia was on. Lydia, do you want to give us a little report?
Of course. Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
I do have a few updates from our project managers. I first want to shout out Desiree for giving the updates last month. I was out celebrating my birthday, so I appreciate her stepping in and doing that for me. I will start with the first ab project. So a bit of progress from our last update. The 15% plans and draft design concept report are finalized and will be posted on the project website very soon. The 30% design should be completed in late June. The city of Tucson also applied for a federal build grant for the Rito Creek Bridge replacement. On Grant Road, phases 3 and 4, which is from Sparkman Boulevard to Swan Road, construction is about 70% complete. So, you know, we won't have to deal with that much longer. Work is continuing on the southeast quarter of the project, as well as on the south side of Albernon for some underground utility work. I received an update on the Suara Copper Flower Bicycle Boulevards. We recently received 90% design plans from our consultants, and that's circulating currently for review and will be also up on the project website soon. The final project I wanted to introduce, which I don't believe has been brought to the committee before, someone reached out asking to show the El Paso and Southwestern Greenway, specifically the portion in the downtown area. So I put together just this quick map here to show everyone if you're unfamiliar. So this is an off-street shared-use path project going from St. Mary's to Cushing. I added some layers here so we can see the southern section is in this historic district, and also the entirety of the project is in a archaeological sensitivity zone. So kind of just wanted to bring this to the committee and see if anyone has comments or questions about this or any of the other projects.
Okay, questions for Lydia?
I could do a couple, but I'll keep it brief. So first of all, Lydia, I had several questions. Would you rather that maybe I just email them to you?
Yeah, like, that, of course, yeah. Any time anyone wants to email questions specific about projects, I can communicate throughout the month as well.
Okay, that's what I'll do. And, but then on the slide you just put up, doesn't the Greenbelt, doesn't that go all the way? Isn't it going to link up with the Bridges project or
that's
not?
That's correct. Yeah, this is just one section of the project. The section below that is actually complete. And then on the northern segment, we're connecting to the existing Fifth Street Bike Boulevard. So it's a larger project. This is just a small segment that touches more archaeological and historic areas.
Okay. All right. Great. Yeah, I'll send you an email about a couple of other projects.
Okay. Great. I'll keep an eye out. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions for Lydia? Well, thank you for being on today, and we'll certainly give you a pass for last month because it was your birthday. So, great. Thanks. All right. So let's move on to item 8 then, which is TPCHC subcommittee, other committee and council and commission status reports. 8A is plans review subcommittee. Desiree, what do you have for a brief review for us?
So the last meeting, just pulling up my notes, we had, so City Hall Historic Landmark designation was recommended for approval, so that will be moving through now to the rezoning kind of process. So I'll keep you all posted on that. We had a few just kind of regular review items. One was continued, and we'll be seeing that at the next meeting tomorrow. It was some proposed alterations or changes to the plans for the relocated buildings part of the capstone projects in West University. So we'll see those tomorrow at PRS. The Benjamin Supply project, so that's involving the Tucson Warehouse and Transfer Company building. In the Rio Nuevo area, PRS did review that project on at the last meeting, and then it also went to the DRB, so they got comments. SHPO is also kind of has provided some comments, and from what I've heard, I haven't seen the kind of final resubmittal, but it sounds like we were able to find, the architect and SHPO were able to find kind of an agreement to or everyone's in agreement that the proposed alterations will not affect the contributing historic status of the building. So that's what we were a little bit concerned about, but it sounds like there's some good progress there. So I was happy to hear about that. So those are the main things that I think main reviews we have coming up.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Desiree? I don't think Michael's on. I don't know if he has anything. I don't have anything else on this item. So,
and Michael's out.
That's right. He's not on. Yeah. I forgot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Item 8B is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Haggard. Tim, are you there? Did you see him step off, Tracy?
Looks like he did, but I don't have any emails or anything. He was just there. Maybe he got kicked off.
Okay, so maybe we should just put like 12:35 that he appeared to go off. You know, I don't know. That's, yeah, we'll check and give him a chance.
Okay.
If he does come back. Okay. No report. Okay. Item 8C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Helen is not here, but were you going, who was going to report on that? Was it you, JJ?
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So, let's see, this was the historic landscapes, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so the Historic Landscapes Subcommittee met on February 25th. We reviewed a new sidewalk and Ramada improvement at the David G. Herrera and Ramon Quios Park. This is a Category 1 park dating from 1901. So the subcommittee requested that the project be returned for additional review when they have the storm and shade plan available. We also reviewed the Cottonwood Lane planting plan at Fort Lowell Park, and the subcommittee commended the efforts made by the private and public entities to maintain the overall geography of this historic space and ensure the survival of the proposed additional trees. So we also had a presentation by Dr. Courtney Rose about the Butterfield Trail and efforts made to both, protect the trail and do interpretation. And there was a discussion of how to define the Butterfield Trail in a more inclusive way, recognizing the indigenous human trails and wildlife corridors on which the route is based. So the meeting in a nutshell.
Okay, great. Any questions for JJ? Okay, if not, we'll go on to 8D.
Hi, Jerry. This is Tim Haggard. I hung up instead of turned off my mute.
Okay, so you're back again at 12:39. Do you want to go ahead and give us a report on 8B, Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council?
Yeah, so, I was up on the meeting up until you called on me, and then I hung up, but we did not meet, so I don't have anything to report.
Okay, so didn't meet, no report. Sorry, I'm writing quickly. All right, so 8D is Transportation Subcommittee. Commissioner Lozano.
Hi, thanks, Terry. I'll be brief. I guess maybe the biggest item would be RTA. Since that passed, I guess then we are sort of back to the drawing board as far as a couple of things, sort of keeping some of these projects as manageable as possible so that they don't take out historic structures or buildings that are over 50 years old that have no protection. So one of the other things that we had done, like last year or the year before, was to try to get some TPCHC representation on one of the citizens advisory committees, and we were told that they had done their work and there wasn't anything else to do. So now that RTA Next is happening, we should find out if they're going to reconvene either the technical management committee or the citizens advisory. And I know that Commissioner Lamb has volunteered to be on that if they do reconvene those. So we'll find out about that. I'll find that old email. I'll find the email that we sent that they responded, and then we can maybe just reply to that again. And then TEP, sort of bad news. I'll keep it short. The zoning examiner approved the substation and then just said that he had no jurisdiction on the poles that would be placed adjacent to, I guess it's Feldman's and Pi Allen and West University Iron Horse. And he only has jurisdiction over where it crosses a scenic corridor like Sunshine Mile. So the good news, I mean, if there is any good news, is that they are going to appeal. So it'll go back to mayor and council one more time, or I guess one more time. And so that'll be in the next couple months. And so we'll keep an eye on that. And let's see. And then the only other thing was on Rio Nuevo, I think I've mentioned before, I've had some frustration because I can't tell by looking at I can't attend the meetings and I can't tell from looking at the agenda or the minutes, you know, what these projects are really doing. And maybe Desiree might know, or I noticed that Jen Levstick is on. The agenda for the last couple of months has said that the city has offered a number of vacant parcels in the Sunshine Mile to the district in order to activate them. I don't know what activate means, and I don't know which parcels those are. And activate could mean anything from renovation to demolition. So does anyone present know what those are, those which parcels or what's planned for them?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I can try to find out more and get back to you.
Okay, thanks. And also, I know that that DNARC is often involved with Rio Nuevo. So Commissioner Haggard, if you could, you know, let me know if you hear any about any Rio Nuevo projects that are problematic. I mean, they do such good work. You know, when they do great things, they're great, and then when they're bad, they're horrid. So it's, you never can tell. So that's my report.
Thank you, Carlos. Any questions? Very good. Thanks. Okay. 8D is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald.
Yeah, their actual March meeting is tomorrow, so we're ahead of them this time. I will report on it at our next meeting.
Okay, perfect. So you had no report. Okay.
Correct.
All right, so item 8F is Budget Subcommittee, and that's me. Just to alert the members that we will be meeting soon to go over some things for the current budget. Okay, so watch for an email from me about setting up a meeting. And item 8G is Outreach and Training Subcommittee, and we'll have Commissioner Lamb report, and there's probably some really good news there.
Okay. So on March 2nd, we held our very first webinar. Our presenter was Stephanie Phillips, who is a Senior Program Manager, Deconstruction and Circular Economy for the City of San Antonio. She presented about how their deconstruction and circular economy program started, how it operates, and what some of the great outcomes have been. We had 7 commission attendees, and I want to thank Desiree Aranda, who will be having the webinar posted online so that it will be available to view for everyone. If you were unable to attend in person, you'll be able to view that webinar online when it's posted. We'll send out a notice when it becomes available. Since participation in training is required for commissioners, we would like to request that you let Chair Majewski know after you have viewed the webinar, because we're responsible to track back. It was an absolutely incredible, presentation. And so I'd like to ask Commissioner Kubisch and Miner to share just 1 or 2 sentences, brief comments about the webinar. Commissioner Kubisch, could you do that? Oh, you're muted. Yeah.
I unmuted. Stephanie basically started their program as a side project. And she advises bit by bit, a very gradual process, which is undoubtedly what we will face if we ever start initiating any sort of deconstruction study in the city of Tucson. She now has departmental support. She's been able to leverage grants, and they are ordinanced. So, but this has been approximately an 8-year process for them. So I think our lesson to learn is that we start small, get community involvement, do research. Yesterday I was able to access City of Tucson demolition records. So that's one important thing to start by, just getting a handle on the number of demolitions and starting small like Stephanie did.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Kubisch. Commissioner Miner, would you like to share your comments?
Sure. Again, starting, she traced the origins of it and didn't go back all that far. I think about 7-8 years is when they started the planning of it. but she took it step by step, and it showed what materials are saved, where they're saved, which I thought one of the things that I noticed about it was that with that department, it didn't seem to be a terribly expensive overhead either. And that impressed me about it. And where they are at today, you know, she talked about how the crew has expanded, the permanent crew that has expanded, and where they want to go from here. And I just thought there were similarities between the San Antonio population and Tucson's population. And it seems like there's a lot of similarities between our two cities, and it struck me as something that obviously it's going to take a lot of time to develop, but it's something that could go here. And but overall, it was very worthwhile, and I'm glad that I got to attend the webinar.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you.
Great.
JJ, Carlos has a question.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. I didn't see that. Okay. Carlos?
Just a quick comment. Remember that City of Tucson, Mayor and Council, I think, commissioned a study on this topic about 10 years ago. I mean, it was a very small study, but you know, they're aware of it, or that council was aware of it. So it's not something that we're completely ignorant about in Tucson.
That's great.
And it was a fantastic, it's a fantastic seminar, and what San Antonio is doing is just so great. So thank you, JJ, and everyone who brought that together.
No, that's great. We'll find that study, because that could be exceptionally helpful. Yes. Okay, and so our next webinar will be on May 5th, and we will be having Emily Freeman, who oversees Boulder, Colorado's Circular Economy Program. They approach deconstruction and the circular economy from a very different vantage point. And so this will be really informative, because there's many, many ways for cities and counties to, approach building their own circular economy that fits with their community. The other thing that was shared was that, build and reuse, which is a national organization, is having their conference in Phoenix this November. And so I just received the announcement of that from Stephanie, and I'll be sending that to Chair Majewski so we can distribute it. And hopefully we can get some of us to go up there.
I think that would be excellent. Thank you. JJ, if we should plan to talk fairly soon about a couple things, because we'll be gearing up for some of your other projects and various things. So
okay.
Thanks for all your efforts. I know you're busy. Great. So then the next item is 8H. I'm sorry. Too many letters and too much writing. Event subcommittee, and that's me. So I do have a quick report on that. The event subcommittee met about a month ago, and one of our sort of external members is Mariana Pegno from Tucson Museum of Art. And she and I have been in conversations about the new, about when to have the event to rebury the next time capsule. And so, the Museum of Art is considering two dates, Saturday, October 10th, and Saturday, November 14th. And so if any of you know of any, like, major conflicts, you know, with either of those dates, could you get back to me fairly quickly, like in a week? You know, just send me an email and just say they're having X thing on Saturday, October 10th. That wouldn't be a good idea. So what Mariana has a really sensible approach to the gathering of materials and reburial. They're getting a new time capsule, and I think it's going to be slightly bigger. And they are taking the advice of the group that buried the materials all those years ago. And those people left a recommendation that all the things from that time capsule be put into this time capsule. And so, so anyway, there will be some information forthcoming that the commission, you know, obviously being considered a stakeholder, will be able to recommend things to be included. And so that's very exciting. So another thing we're going to do, and I haven't been able to tell the Preservation Award Subcommittee about this yet, is that, Ken, I'll be with you in a minute, is that we're probably going to hold the Preservation Awards in conjunction with that, like at the beginning of the event or something like that, which is exciting, because, with the huge efforts last year for Tucson's 250th, it was really hard to do a lot of other events. We were meetinged out, planned out, and stuff. So anyway, Ken.
Yes, question I had is if all the things from 50 years ago are going to be reburied, I would hope that they're going to be scanned, photographed, and documented as well as possible so that we have those still as a way that we can understand and use those items today.
Well, if anyone has any thoughts, please email me these thoughts so I can pass them on to Mariana, because we'll have to. They were very good at, they had things on display, and I think they made lists of things, and they don't really have, I don't know if they have the bandwidth to scan everything, but that could possibly be a small project we could do to help them out.
I'd be happy to volunteer with that. So
Let me know though. But let me know right away, and I'll let Mariana know. But they have taken good care of them since the capsule was opened last August. So
I thought they did a great job right at the moment, and then longer term displays did excellent work.
Yeah. And all right. So anyone else on that? So I will be now that Rhonda has joined, and we need to reschedule our meeting for sometime in April to do more on this. But I do need to get back to Mariana about those dates. Again, they're October 10th, Saturday, and Saturday, November 14th for the time capsule. Okay? All right. So the next one is 8I, Preservation Awards. Now, for the subcommittee members, we don't need to publicize the event until, or ask for nominations until, much closer to the time, or people will lose their focus on it. So, but I'll probably call a meeting, sometime in April, just briefly for us to get together, and I can send an email with some questions. Well, you'll see the agenda too of things we need to discuss for that. So, okay. Thank you. So then, last but not least, is HJ, TPCHC Historic Preservation Advisory Working Group, and that's Commissioners Erickson and Lamb as co-chairs. So, JJ, would you report on that, please? Oh, you're on mute.
Sorry about that. Okay, so just very shortly here, quickly, we reviewed an updated version of the current administrative directive that was presented by Ms. Aranda and Mr. Knighton-Weiser, and no action was taken.
Okay, and Jonathan had mentioned earlier that they're still working on their review part of it.
Yes,
so, and then,
yes, yeah, that's not complete.
And one of the things that the group will be taking up will be a discussion with county folks, and including Ian, about the tribal policy, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Okay, now on to item 9. We have City of Tucson African American Historic Resources Survey. And Desiree, I thought you might want to introduce Margaret Hangen, who will be presenting. And Jen, are you also on to present about this?
Yeah, Margaret and I are going to co-present.
Oh, very good. I didn't know that, but I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. You get both of us today.
Yeah, great. So, yeah, Margaret, we want to see you wherever you are. Where are you?
I'm here, Terry. There's a lot of us on this, so I'm probably on your second page, but I'm here.
I see you now. Great. Okay. So anyway, I'm excited to hear about this. And do you have permission to share the screen or?
Let's see. All right. I can't tell if you can see that or not.
Yeah, it's there.
See it?
Yeah.
Okay. I have no idea what it looks like from your end.
You need to just put it in presentation mode.
Well, she's getting that set up.
There it is. It's in presentation mode.
Okay. Yeah, we can see it good now. I'll hand it over to Jen and to Margaret, but I just wanted to thank them for all of their really, really wonderful and hard work on this historic context and property inventory of African American history, community history in Tucson. I really enjoyed reading the document. We have it online, so I'll put the link in the chat to where you all can access it. But without further ado, I'll hand it over to Jen from Westland Resources, who was our primary consultant on the project.
Yeah, and just to let you know, before you start, Desiree, Boards and Commissions doesn't allow us to use the chat for the full commission meeting. So if you could send that to Tracy, and she can share that link.
Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you.
Great. Just before we start, I probably already know already, but for those of you I haven't met that are new to the commission, I'm Jennifer Lustig. I'm an architectural historian here in Tucson with Westland Resources. And then I just want to let Margaret chime in, since she's not a Tucsonan. Some of you may not know her, but some of you probably do. But I'll let Margaret introduce herself real quick.
Sure. Thanks, Jen. Yeah. Margaret Angen. Some of you may be familiar with me from the days in which I used to work for the Forest Service. So I retired from the Forest Service almost exactly a year ago. And, I have since, basically started a small CRM firm. So, of my own. So that's where I came in. Jen was, and Westland Resources were nice enough to, hire me to assist with this. But I also worked as the director of collections for the Verde Valley Archaeological Center.
And then Margaret's also heading up all kinds of other things. So she's very, very busy in her quasi-retirement. So she and Terry are going to have a competition on how many committees they can be on and run and things.
We're on together, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
We've known each other for a long time. Yeah.
So some of you, when I was still on the commission, we did a presentation on the inventory. So some of this will look a little bit familiar to some of you already. But we started this project in 2022, and it was a certified local government grant that's through our State Historic Preservation Office. And so they provide small allocation of funds to preservation-related projects. And so we've done this in multiple phases to be able to accomplish all of the work that needed to be done to complete this document and inventory. There has been a concerted effort over the last several years with some of these CLG grants is that we focus on the documentation of underrepresented communities. The city is currently working on one now on the Mexican American community in Tucson. So we're sort of going down the line of making sure that we're able to do some robust documentation on multiple communities here in Tucson. As I mentioned, so this is a two-phase project. So the first phase was we created a database, did a field survey, and did a public outreach component. So the idea behind that was to try to identify as many surviving historic age, in some cases a little bit less than 50 years old. We did this up till 1978. Basically one, to identify the kinds of resources we have out there, to create this as a management tool for the city so the city understands, you know, what those historic resources are, so that we don't lose significant resources because we have in the past, like the Beau Brummel Club was a major loss to the African American community. And so we kind of, you know, the goal being that something like this would help kind of inform the public in the city. So when those kinds of things come up for demolition, that we actually know what we're looking at and we don't lose a valuable resource. So there's a huge public outreach component in this, where, you know, we did lots of meetings and met with, several members of the African American community to get their input and, recommendations on places to look at. Of course, my dogs are deciding to rest in the background now that I'm talking. They've been asleep this whole time. And then phase two, which is the historic context and then a story map. And that's the phase that we started in 2024. And that's where Margaret, came in. And let's see here. And so under that phase one inventory, basically, and again, you know, we're looking at things at least 45 years of age or older. And the reason we did that was so that this document had some longevity, that we didn't just cut it off at the 50-year age mark. That of those 59 extant resources, that includes neighborhoods too. So that includes districts, not just an individual property. Within that, those resources, six of them are neighborhoods. So there's lots and lots of things within them. Neighborhoods like Sugar Hill or A Mountain or Dunbar. We did find at least 14, historic properties that were demolished. There were many more that were lost during urban renewal. A large component of the kind of commercial enterprises owned and operated by African Americans was within that urban renewal zone. So it wasn't just losing that sort of Mexican American component of downtown, but we also lost an African American, also Chinese American component in that same area. We also found some pretty significant resources immediately outside city limits, but it was outside our scope of work. So we didn't look at those, but we did mention them in our documents. Some of you may have been familiar with the Cowtown Quilaco, which is kind of a cool place out near Three Points area, I believe. Ward Homestead's also another one. Gonna be working on an article on that with Margaret. Mountain View Hotel, El Casino Ballroom, and also Town of Rito. And then last but not least, so that initial inventory phase, which is the appendix of the context that Margaret prepared, was approved by the Arizona SHPO. And then if you're interested, the pictures up top here, on your left there is the backside of Marist College. Marist College, for many of you, probably don't know, but it was actually a racially integrated parochial school. So it wasn't just simply the tallest adobe building in downtown Tucson, but it also hosted, you know, African-American, Mexican-American, Anglo-American kids from all over the city and even from Sierra Vista. A lot of the Buffalo soldiers, their kids went to that school. And then on the right here is Miss Campbell in her underground lair. This is one of my favorite stories. But she was a science fiction writer. She was this really interesting character. And I think she's a little bit of a doomsday prepper. And she decided to build a basically this sort of cave under her house. This is a picture from the paper when they interviewed her. She taught piano lessons down there. And she did all kinds of stuff down the bottom of her house. The house still does exist. You would never know from the outside. It looks just like a plain 1950s ranch house in the middle of a neighborhood. But down below, there is another house that Margaret put together. But she was a really fascinating character. But that's a story for another time. All right, Margaret, let me move this to you.
Yeah.
Oops, I went the wrong direction. And so anyway, so Margaret came in.
Yeah, you know, moving on to the, yeah, there we go. So when Jen got a hold of me and asked me to step in and help with this, and she kind of gave me free rein as to kind of what I wanted to focus on. And I know from experience that places today which are known physical locations associated with African Americans, you know, those are places that are tangible, but there's a lot of intangible associated with Black history and Black culture. And particularly if you have physical places that no longer have that automatic Black connection to, people don't ask the question or don't know to ask the questions. Is there a connection to the Black community in Tucson to this physical place? So I really focused in on some of those more systems and social organizations and aspects that were less physically tangible, but definitely had connections to different aspects of Tucson and Tucson history and development. So, yes, I definitely stepped a little harder into the whole issue of slavery and early Spanish Mexico Jen had done that to a point, but I wanted to expand on that because I think that's really critical in understanding that there has always been significant African-American culture as part of Tucson, even early, very early on. And so what we have today is a continuation. Also really talking about, you know, not only looking at early pioneers, but why those pioneers came in to take advantage of opportunities such as exploiting the mining option operations, including creating there was a black run mining company at one point here. And other good entrepreneurial opportunities. Also really stepped hard in onto the Homesteading Act. Less studies, to my knowledge, has been done here in Arizona about the use of the Homesteading Act by black people, but I think that's definitely an area of needed research. And it was clear from what I was able to find that that is something that black people in Tucson did do and successfully earned that land. And those questions need to come up when looking at some of these areas. So also ranching, businesses, religious organizations, and understanding the development of, for instance, the Baptist churches that are certainly known to be part of the black community, but also there are a lot of African Americans who are Catholic. And people never think about that as being a part of the black community. Also that the churches themselves have their own hierarchical organizations and they actually are very much supportive of each other. And talking about what those larger organizations mean in the politics. So really, as you can say, really getting into the social organizations. The other thing, two things I really focused in on was the sports and the fact that there was significant sports associated with African Americans in Tucson. And interestingly enough, I'm sure baseball and basketball are the key things, but most people think of it, golf. Golf apparently was a big to do. And there were black African-American golf organizations across the in Tucson, actually across the state, as well as the military. And we all are very familiar with Buffalo Soldiers, but I made a point of not necessarily putting heavy piece on Buffalo Soldier history because most people know that and really focus more on Davis-Monthan. And the fact that the Air Force was a major, it desegregated very early. Out of all the other military branches, they really leaned into desegregating, and it clearly Davis-Monthan clearly was a base that brought in African Americans, and so that was part of the reason why you had folks coming to Tucson was to work at Davis-Monthan. So just please take a look at it, but I think overall you can see that I really wanted to focus into those less tangible aspects of Tucson black culture.
Yeah. Thanks, Margaret. And then this one's one that, as Desiree mentioned, so the city's reviewed it. It's going to go to SHPO, but it's currently up on the city's page if you're interested. And then again, just these pictures here on the top. So the far right is Caleb Martin and his family, or he was a rancher outside of the Tucson mm-hmm. area, but he and his family yeah. settled in Tucson. But he was one of the more prominent ranchers that Margaret found some research on. The center, of course, is a picture of men dressed up for an event at the Bob Rummel Club. And then on the left-hand side there is just a cover of one of the green books. Which is one of the things that Margaret talked about a lot was looking at travel and where people were allowed to go and to stay. And the Green Book was one of those opportunities that people had in order to figure out where they could stay. Because, you know, right. obviously, you know, when you travel, you can't just stay wherever you want to stay. And so we just anyway, included a cover of that. And then is there anything else you want to mention before I jump over to our story map, Margaret?
No. No, thanks for the opportunity.
Awesome. Thanks. And then what we're doing right now is, so we have a draft of the story map. We just have to meet with Desiree next week to show it to her and make sure she likes what it looks like. But this is another thing that's going to be, don't worry, Ken, I see you. I'll get to you. But so this is another thing that's going to be sort of a publicly accessible map that the city, we're still sort of figuring out who's going to host it. Westland may host it. The city may host it. African American Museum of Southern Arizona may host it. So we're still kind of going back and forth on the final host of this. But so we took, you know, we're taking about, 11, 12 places. So it's not a full story map for every single solitary thing, in part because we want to make sure that we weren't putting, even though you could access it if you wanted to, but we didn't really want people going over to private residences and knocking on doors and things like that. We just wanted, you know, places that people could drive by and good collections of things. And so we've taken, there's obviously several neighborhoods included in this, but other ones where we wanted to be able to show, you know, each of the different kind of property functions. So there's commerce, there's churches, there's travel related things, there's education, there's social clubs, and then of course a community park. And then just in the picture here, so on the far left is a picture of Paul R. Williams. He was one of the architects for Pueblo Gardens neighborhood. He was one of the most prominent African-American architects of the 20th century. And he did a project here in Tucson. And then there's also the Rio Motel, which is right up top there. That's one of the few places that African-Americans who were traveling through Tucson could stay. That was one of the properties we found in the Green Book. And then the bottom there is a promotional pamphlet from the 1920s for the Prince Hall Masons. That was the African American or the black version of the Freemasons. Mm-hmm. That was their organization. We have one here in Tucson, the Pima Lodge number 10, which we did not actually find during the first survey, mm-hmm. but Margaret found that. So that's going to get added onto our story map since we didn't find it during the first survey. So one thing to think about too is that, you know, we don't expect that we've found every single solitary thing. I mean, there's all kinds of people out there that know information that, you know, have yet to come forward. Maybe with all this stuff posted, we'll learn some more. But so just keep that in mind that there are, you know, obviously more places probably than we were able to identify. But I think we have at least a really good start. So with that, I'm open to questions. I think that's yeah. – oh, and there's some just other pictures if you want to look at pictures.
Yeah, Jen, I was going to say, I know Ken has to get off, so I'm going to have him ask his question. Sure. And then I'll take Rhonda. I think that's you. The next one. Oh, great pictures. Go ahead, Ken.
Question. The Rio Motel, is that the one that was just north of Speedway on Main?
No, it's off Benson Highway. So it's, yeah.
It was supposed to be a motel, and I was going to ask if you found a picture. It was supposed to be a motel just north of Main, I think on the east side of the street. I mean, Main, just north of Speedway. So I didn't know whether...
One of the things is that a lot of the buildings that we've found in some of these travel guides don't exist anymore. So it's possible it may have been one of those. But yeah, we didn't find a whole lot of those left. We found a few like kind of lodging houses, but like gas stations and things like that were in the Green Book. I mean, we went to the location of them, but no, they weren't there. So I'm wondering if that was one of them.
I might check just one time on a Sanborn map. The other comment was, and I don't know if the display is still up, but the Arizona Historical Society had a display on the Cosmopolitan Hotel or Motel. Or what mm-hmm. about the Cosmopolitan Hotel from the 1870s, which later became the Orndorff, but they had a black cook that was doing this in a recipe. So I don't know if you have that listed. I'd like to learn more about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll let Margaret chime in here real quick, but I think for the most part, when we were trying to identify things that we can associate with the black community, we tried to find things where it was a distinctly African-American property. You know, we found, yeah.
But Ken brings up a good point, and I did touch on it in my, because we have a tendency to look at spaces that, you know, associate a lot of spaces that were in black communities as black spaces. But your point is well taken. A lot of the commercial spaces, the hotels and things, oftentimes employ black people as cooks and as maids and as labor, and yet we still think of them as white spaces and not black spaces. Touch on that because, you know, we need to figure out how we define these. We need to redefine these because those spaces do have a black cultural component to them, but they're not oftentimes seen as black spaces.
And I've got to go, but quite a celebrity. So and you might just check with Arizona Historical Society because it was very interesting.
Great. Thank you, Ken.
And Terry, I have to leave one last request. If anybody, there's a Tucson Preservation Foundation home tour late this month, and I've been recruited, and I'm looking for other people that might like to be a site host. So please email me if you think you'd like to be a site host. It's the last Sunday of the month.
Okay, thank you. Let's go ahead with Rhonda's question.
I just wanted to collaborate really quickly. I'd love to volunteer if you guys are looking for any future volunteers or collaboration. My father himself is Mr. K of Mr. K's Barbecue.
Oh, wonderful.
I also work with Dunbar on their preservation committee as well.
Yeah.
So if you guys need any additional resources or connections or maybe something that was overlooked, I'd be happy to join in. So just wanted to say that.
Thank that you. Would be so great. Much. Yeah, I don't know, Rhonda, does Desiree have your email?
I do. And yeah, I can send it.
You can't
it
put
on.
Things in the chat. I was like,
yeah.
Otherwise I'll,
no, we don't have a chat, but I'll email it to you right after the meeting.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, I can reach out to you as well, Desiree. Thank you guys for this great work.
Yeah. Perfect. Kathy?
A few years ago, at one of the history conventions, there was a presentation called You Could Still Smell the Bodies. And this was about a former mortuary that mm-hmm. was converted to, I think, an elementary school for black children. Did you pick up on that? Did you find this?
In Tucson?
Yeah.
No. I mean, we've had bakeries that got converted, but not mortuaries.
Would you like me to see if I can't track that down?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks.
It's
like sort of disturbing, but thank you.
Well, I have a
yeah, final it was.
Question. Would you be able to share this presentation with the commission in case it provokes other thoughts, or is that something that we could do?
Which presentation?
I have no. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I can share if Jen and Margaret are okay sharing it. I can send it along.
That'd be great. Just send it to Tracy, and maybe if you make it a PDF, then it won't be as large. Mm-hmm. I mean, because okay. It just seems it's hard to do that. But also, and then. So you said the studies are posted on your office website, Desiree?
Yes. So I did send that link to the board's commission staff.
Great. So this is so excellent. And thank you both, Jen and Margaret, for your in-depth project and your sharing it with us. We appreciate that very much.
And, sure. And when we get the story map up and ready, Desiree can share that with you guys when that's ready to go. Hopefully we'll have it ready to go by your next commission meeting.
That'd be wonderful.
Great.
So thanks again.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Let me see if there are any more. Were there any other questions? I'm not sure that there were. Okay. No. Tracy, I know that Ken got off about 1:17. Is that about what you had?
Yes.
And then Alice Sadangi got off a little bit after 1 or 105, she said, was her latest. Do you have a time for her?
I don't have a time for her, but I can check the transcript.
Yeah, let's just agree. It's going to be about 1 to 105, I think. So, and we just have to keep track of that. Sorry, folks. Okay, item 10 is ASM permitting and policy updates. And Ian usually reports on that. Courtney, did you have anything, or should we just say no report?
There's no report this month. Thank you.
Okay. And then item 11 is monitoring and preserving historic buildings and landscapes owned by the city of Tucson. And usually Commissioner Scoville reports on that, but he just had to leave, so there's no report. But he did get his question in for Courtney about Atkins. Item 12 is Commissioner's summary of current events. Does anyone have anything to share? I will check hands here. I don't see any on this page. I don't see any on that page.
This is JJ. I do have something.
Oh, go ahead, JJ.
Okay. So Vail Preservation Society has collaborated with David Layton, the writer of Street Smarts, on a street naming project out in Vail. And so there'll be a street naming dedication in Vail at the new KB neighborhood on March 26th between 10 and noon.
The streets will be named for the homesteader, and also Vail World War One and World War Two veterans, one of whom is Oscar Monthan, for whom Davis Monthan is named.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I can send that information along. And then the other thing that I'd like to share is that I attended the Pima County Regional Flood Control District Management Plan meeting on March 2nd. And one of the outcomes of that is that the CRS coordinator has indicated that protection, this is something that I brought up, that planning for floods and drainages, you know, have huge impacts on historic structures. And the outcome is that historic structures will be added to the problem list for future action plan updates.
Okay, great. Thank you. Anyone else want to share something? Okay. All right. Yes.
I just want to share this weekend is the Tucson Festival of Books. That's at the University of Arizona. So if anyone wants to get out and meet some great authors, that's happening Saturday and Sunday, 14th and 15th.
Great. Thank you so much, Rhonda. I almost didn't see you. Just so many people are on the meeting. It's hard for me to follow, but thank you for speaking up.
Of course.
Okay. Item 13 is called to the audience. Were any comments received by the posted deadline, Tracy?
No.
Okay, thank you. All right, item 14 is thoughts on inclusivity. Would anyone like to share any? I just thought our presentation by Jen and Margaret was a real reminder of many things that weren't inclusive, but we had a vibrant African American community nonetheless, and still do. So anyway, I thought that was a great presentation. I thank Desiree for bringing it to our attention. And we had talked about having it last month, but they weren't quite ready yet, I guess, Desiree. But thank you for that. Okay, item 15 is schedule and future agenda items for upcoming meetings. So I'm just asking that you email me any agenda items to consider by March 27th to be considered for the April 8th, 2026 agenda. Okay, so if there is nothing else, and Tracy, if you could just hang on for a minute, we'll be adjourned then at 1:26. Thank you, everyone, for your attention, and we'll see you soon.